Maitreya the Buddha, snow white peaks are calling. Maitreya the Buddha, white swan spread your wings. Maitreya the Buddha, snow white peaks are calling. Maitreya the Buddha, white swan spread your wings. No footprints in the sky. 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 Maitreya the Buddha, snow white peaks are calling. Maitreya the White swan, spread your wings. Maitreya the Buddha, snow white peaks are calling. Maitreya the Buddha, white swan, spread your wings. No footprints in the sky. No footprints in the sky. No footprints in the sky. No footprints in the sky.
Beloved Buddha, once Kaku-san went to see Kyo-san. Raising his foot, Kaku-san said, "The 28 Indian patriarchs were like this, and the 6 patriarchs of the country of Tang were like this, and you are like this, and I am like this." Kyo-san came down from the Zen seat and hit him 4 times with the wisteria staff. After Kaku-san became enlightened, an ascetic once said to him, "What is the true meaning of Buddhism?" Kaku-san remained silent and bowed to him. The ascetic asked, "Are you bowing to a man of the world?" Kaku-san replied, "Don't you see what I am saying? I am your famous disciple." At another time, Kyo-san, on seeing a monk approach him, raised his mosquito flapper. At this, the monk shouted loudly, "Quats!" Kyo-san commented, "There is such a thing as saying quats. But tell me, where was my mistake?" The monk replied, "In improperly pointing to an external object," at which Kyo-san hit him.
Manisha, the new situation the new responsibility that I have taken upon myself has raised many questions from different quarters. Perhaps it will take a little time to clarify any questions, doubts, suspicions, or mere curiosities. The first thing is from the Chief of Staff of United Press International. He has sent a telegram asking me that now I have allowed Gautam Buddha to be my guest. Have I become a Buddhist? In the same reference, he has asked, what about my followers? Are they also now part of an organized religion? Have they also become Buddhists? The question is absolutely relevant. But my answer may baffle the Chief of Staff of UPI. Gautam the Buddha has taken shelter in me. I am the host, he is the guest. There is no question of any conversion. I am a Buddha in my own right. And that is the reason he has felt to use my vehicle for his remaining work. He has been waiting a wandering cloud for 25 centuries for a right vehicle. I am not a Buddhist, neither is Gautam the Buddha's intention to create Buddhists or to create an organized religion. Even 25 centuries before, he never created an organized religion. The moment truth is organized, it becomes a lie. an organized religion is nothing but a hidden politics. A deep exploitation of the priesthood. There may be Shankaracharyas, Imams, Rabbis, or Popes, it makes no difference. Gautam Buddha did not leave behind him any successor. His last words were, "Don't make my statues. Don't collect my words. I don't want to become a symbol which has to be worshipped. My deepest longing is that you will not be imitators, you don't have to be Buddhists because your own potential is to be a Buddha." I would like to say, I don't teach Buddhism or any ism for that matter. I teach the Buddha himself. The people who are with me are not part of any organized religion. They are independent individual seekers. My relationship with them is that of a fellow traveler. By the way, I have to remind you that Gautam Buddha's prophecy of 25 centuries that when I come again, I will not be able to be born through a woman's womb. I will have to take shelter in a man of the similar consciousness and the same height and the same open sky. I will be called the friend. A tremendous freedom is implied in the word. He does not want to be anybody's guru. He simply wants to be a friend. He has something to share with no conditions attached to the sharing. This also will help you because few sannyasins have been confused that how they will make the difference between the ancient Gautam Buddha and me. Gautam Buddha's prophecy helps to clarify the confusion. Although he has taken shelter in me, I will not be called Gautam the Buddha. I will love to be called, according to his prophecy, Maitreya the Buddha. Maitreya means the friend. That will keep the distinction. There will not be any confusion. As far as I am concerned, I have been always against any organized religion. My love, my longing is to create as many individuals in the world as possible, utterly independent, in absolute freedom of their soul, no setters of Christianity or Hinduism or Mohammedanism, no scriptures, no teachings, no discipline, except a self-awareness, a flame burning in your very soul, making you aware and alert and a witness. There is a small community of Buddhists in Maharashtra. They are newly converted Buddhists by Dr. Baba Sahib Ambedkar. These are the untouchables whom Hindus have been exploiting for centuries, humiliating, utterly disgracefully. These are the most oppressed, exploited, humiliated human beings upon the earth. But Baba Sahib Ambedkar could not manage all the untouchables, which are 1/4 of the Hindu fold. He himself was not a meditator. His effort to convert the untouchables into Buddhists was simply to take them out from the Hindu fold so they can gain their dignity as human beings. This was a political step, a social revolution, but it has nothing to do with spirituality. I have received from that small community that Dr. Ambedkar converted with great hope that perhaps I will give them an organized religion, I'm sorry to say, the very word organization is irreligious. I do not teach religion, I teach religiousness, equality, not a membership into any church, but a quality that transforms your being. Brings the flowering of your potentiality. Those Buddhists who have been left in a kind of darkness and difficulties, I am available to help them not to be Buddhists but to be Buddhas. Less than that is below my comprehension. I want a world full of Buddhas, absolutely free to fly in the open sky. Truth brings freedom. Meditation brings freedom. Freedom from scriptures and freedom from the words of the ancients. It brings a silence, a peace, and a sense of eternity, immortality, deathlessness. It brings a dance to your life. A new song, a new music, a new way of living in grace and love, but it has nothing to do with any organized religion. All organized religion have proved criminals, murderers. They have done nothing but massacre. They have burnt living human beings all over the world. If we want a new world, we have to get rid of all organized religions. Religiousness is just like love. Have you ever heard organized love? It reminds me, just the other day, Prince of Edinburgh in England made a very strange statement. In the parliament, they were discussing about curtailing hunting because so many species of animals are simply disappearing. Prince of Edinburgh is a well-known hunter. He did not agree with the parliament, and he said there is no difference between hunting and purchasing meat from a butcher's shop. And to give an example, perhaps not knowing its implications, he said the difference between hunting and purchasing meat from a butcher, the difference is just like a married woman and a prostitute. There is no difference between a married woman and a prostitute. The parliament was shocked. They have prevented me to enter in England. I have my own ways to enter. This I have been saying again and again for 3 decades, that there is no difference between marriage and prostitution. Marriage is a little longer contract. Prostitution is a shorter contract. Both are purchased with money. But he did not think over it. What does it mean? Queen Elizabeth is a prostitute? The England is ruled by a prostitute? But it is true. And the difference will be dropped only if marriage disappears. Prostitution is a byproduct of marriage. Until marriage remains, there is no way to avoid prostitution. For centuries, every society has tried to destroy prostitutes, but they don't understand that it is a byproduct. No byproduct can ever be destroyed. Can you destroy your shadow? Your shadow is simply a byproduct. Marriage creates a bondage, and every bondage creates a tremendous desire to have a little freedom, at least once in a while. That freedom creates the prostitutes. But why keep all the women either as slaves in the name of marriage or as prostitutes? It is so ugly so barbarous, just drop the marriage and let every woman be utterly free and independent. Love cannot be purchased, and if you purchase it, it cannot be love. You can love out of freedom, and your love should enhance the freedom. If it destroys freedom, it is committing suicide itself. One of the sannyasins has asked that now you have disconnected yourself absolutely and categorically from the Hindu fold and the Jaina fold, in fact, from the whole past of this country. Will you be still criticizing Hindus and Jainas? Of course. Now my sword will be sharper and my hammer will be bigger. In fact, for this very purpose, I have disconnected myself absolutely from any fold, any organization, and on my own, I am not going to create any organization. That will be against my very being, against my whole life's effort. My love is freedom. And those who have gathered around me, and many more will be coming, they have to remember it, that you are not becoming a member of any church. You are just joining hands with friends who are traveling on the same path. At any moment, you can leave the path. Everyone is welcome to join, and everyone is welcome in freedom if he wants to go to seek somewhere else with blessings. I bless all kinds of seeking on all paths. Before the sutras, a little biographical note. Kaku-san was a disciple of Kyo-san. After his enlightenment, he lived on Mount Kaku from which his name is derived, Kakusan. When he was about to die, Kakusan collected a pile of firewood deep in the forest. At noon he refused his meal, went to the pile of wood, lit it and climbed on top. Kakusan then put his umbrella behind his head to make a halo. Thus he ended his life in the flames, holding out his staff like the demon subduing Vajra. Standing, he died in the fires. It must have been a very strange sight that when the fire cooled, he was standing still, utterly burned, dead, but he was holding his staff straight. That staff has made many seekers enlightened. It has to be remembered that a man of the quality of Kakusan I call a religious man. One who knows his life only can know his death. There are two sides of the same coin. Because you have never known life, you will never know death. And to miss life and death and the whole beauty of both is to miss the very meaning of existence. The sutra. Beloved Buddha, once Kakusan went to see Kyozan, raising his foot, Kakusan said, the 28 Indian patriarchs were like this. Standing on one foot. The meaning of it is utter balance. No trembling inside. Utter silence. I am reminded of one of the most important disciples of Gautama Buddha, Vimalakirti. He was a great philosopher. When for the first time he came to see Buddha, he was very proud of his philosophical trainings. He asked Buddha, "You talk too much about freedom. What is freedom?" Buddha said to Vimalakirti, "You can take up any of your foot and stand on the other." He took his left foot up and was standing on the right foot. Buddha said, "Now take the right foot also up." Vimalakirti said, "What nonsense. One foot is enough. Two foot is impossible." Buddha said, "You seem to be a man of understanding." Freedom is standing on one foot. The other foot is responsibility. Freedom brings tremendous responsibility. Not in the old sense you have been told about it, not as a duty, but as an spontaneous and conscious responsibility. There are two kinds of possibilities. Either you react or you respond. A man who lives in his mind reacts. He reacts according to his conditioning as a Christian, as a Hindu, as a Mohammedan. But his reaction is mechanical. Any robot can do it. He has been conditioned to do it, hence he is doing it. But it is not out of his own spontaneity. It is not coming from his state of no mind. When you respond from the state of no mind, out of your meditation, not out of your conditioning, it is response. It is not reaction. Freedom brings responsibility. You act not according to any commandments. You act not according to Manu or Moses or Jesus. You act according to your own light. And whenever you act according to your own light, there is immense fulfillment. A deep rejoicing. Once Kaku-san went to see Kayo-san, raising his foot, Kaku-san said, "The 28 Indian patriarchs were like this, standing on one foot in utter balance. And the 6 patriarchs of the country of Tang were like this too. And you, are like this, and I am like this. Every man of consciousness has a tremendous balance in his life, in his actions, in his gestures. His whole life becomes a dance in balance. And those are the few people who have known the ultimate flowering of consciousness. Kyozan came down from the Zen seat and hit him 4 times with the Vistariya staff. Kakusan was standing on 1 foot. Kyozan came down from the Zen seat and hit him 4 times with the Vistariya staff, the Zen staff. What is the meaning of this? He hit him 4 times. Because unless you can remain balanced in times of difficulties, in dark nights of the soul, when the dance seems to be almost impossible, when you have lost every hope of finding the truth, when you have lost the friend who was sharing his insight to you, and you feel utterly blind, in all these situations, if you can remain still balanced, then there is no problem. Your balance will start flowering on its own accord. Hitting him 4 times he watched Kakusan has not moved, has not lost the balance, has not even asked him, why are you hitting me? A man of balance does not care whether the night is dark. Whether the life is coming to an end, in every situation and circumstances, his balance is never lost. After Kakusan became enlightened, an ascetic once said to him, what is the true meaning of Buddhism? Kakusan remained silent and bowed to him. without saying a word, he has said more than can be said. His silence is not a dead, negative state. His silence is full of peace and love. He showed in his silence the meaning of the whole teaching of Buddha. And to this stranger, he bowed to him. It does not matter whether you are enlightened or not. In any case, in the deepest center of your being, you are a Buddha. And this is the very meaning of Buddha's whole teaching. The ascetic asked, "Are you bowing to a man of the world?" Kaku-san replied, "Don't you see what I am saying? I am your famous disciple. The man was an ordinary man of the world. He could not believe that an enlightened man, a Buddha, is going to bow down to him. He was surprised. He said, 'Don't you see? I am an ordinary man of the world. Are you bowing to a man of the world?'" Kaku-san replied, "What a beautiful answer. Do you see what I am saying? And he has not said anything, but silence is also saying something. Bowing down is also saying something. Don't you see what I am saying? I am your famous disciple." A man who is enlightened is the disciple of everyone in the world. Because what you cannot see, he can see with absolute clarity and certainty. Where you can see only a seed, he can see roses blossoming. Where you can at the most feel some potential, he sees your ultimate destiny. Where you are on the path, he sees you have reached home. One of the most beautiful sayings that I have loved comes from Mahavira, a contemporary of Gautam Buddha. A very strange statement. Mahavira says, if you have started the journey, you have reached already. If a seed has started sprouting, the spring is not far away. Soon, where there was nothing, there will be beautiful flowers with great fragrance. Mahavira is saying that if you have started the journey, you have already reached. You may not see it like that because your comprehensibility is very limited. You cannot see your own future flowering. But if a man of enlightenment also cannot see, then what is the difference? You both are blind. At another time, Kayozan, on seeing a monk approach him, raised his musket to flapper. At this, the monk shouted loudly, "Quartz!" Kayozan commented, "There is such a thing as saying quartz, but tell me where was my mistake?" The monk replied, "In improperly pointing to an external object," at which Kayozan hit him. A man like Kayozan always points to inwards. Whatever he does, whatever he says, is always pointing towards the internal. Just on the margin, Gautam the Buddha never went outside the state of Bihar except once. For 42 years he went round and round in a small state. It has got its name Bihar because of Gautam Buddha's continuously walking around and around. Bihar means the place where the Buddha walked. But only once he went out of Bihar. Near Varanasi, in Sarnath, a small village. But he stayed there only one day. And for 25 centuries, people have been wondering that he stayed in Vaishali at least 20 times in some places many months, because every rainy month he will not move. So every year for 4 months he stayed in one place. It's significant to note that why he escaped from Sarnath only in one day. Now there exists in Sarnath a great institution teaching the philosophy of Buddha and his language Pali. The director of institute, Bhikshu Jagdish Kashyap, invited me to his institute to speak on Gautam the Buddha. But I had to leave in one day. He had come to leave me to the station. He said, "It is strange, why you are leaving in one day?" I said, "For the same reason that Gautam Buddha has left this place in one day." He says, "It is strange, but we have been discussing," and he has been a Buddhist, "we have been discussing for all these centuries that why he did not stay." I said, "You are all idiots. You just see, I have moved around the whole country, and I have never seen such big mosquitoes." And Buddha was not using mosquito nets. It would have been difficult carrying a mosquito net. He was traveling and traveling. But I told Jagdish Kashyap, that you should at least give to every student and scholar and researchers of your institute mosquito nets, not only for the night but for the day too. Because I stayed there 24 hours inside a mosquito net. Basu wrote, "Dying cricket, how full of life his song." It is dying. Dying cricket, how full of life his song. That is the way for the awakened one to live with overflowing life with abundance of energy radiating, and that is the way for the awakened one to die, is still radiating and overflowing his joy, his bliss, his ecstasy. Manisha has asked a question. Beloved Buddha, did Gautama's consciousness enter you at your conception, or is it that over the years his consciousness has gradually become suffused with you? Is it true that Krishnamurti was a candidate for the Maitreya but missed? Manisha, it is true that J. Krishnamurti was prepared by a great theosophical movement in every possible way to become a vehicle of Gautam Buddha. Certainly few of the theosophical movement were aware of the wandering soul of the Buddha, and the time was ripe, but they forgot one thing, that you cannot prepare, condition, educate somebody to receive the consciousness of Buddha. 25 years of torture, of all kinds of disciplines, reciting of scriptures, and when Krishnamurti was 25 and they thought that now he is ready, he knows the scriptures, he lives according to the precepts, they did not allow him to join a public school because others may contaminate his consciousness. They did not allow him to move in the society or to move and meet anyone he wanted. Just a chosen group of theosophical movement was surrounding him. He was caught hold by them when he was only 9 years of age, and since then he had to get up 3 o'clock in the morning, have a bath in the nearby river in Adyar, Madras, and then reciting of the Buddhist sutras. What a torture you can conceive. And he is not at all interested. It is not his choice. It was circumstantial. The mother died. The father was a poor clerk in the post office, and he had two sons, and it was difficult for him to take care of them. And when Annie Besant, a famous lady, the president of the Theosophical Society, asked the father, he was immensely happy to get rid of and giving those two sons, Krishnamurti and Nityananda. He thought he is fulfilling his father's responsibility. He cannot manage, but these people have a worldwide movement. They will give him the best teaching that is possible. It was under these circumstances, because the father was not able to take care of them, the mother has died. Sometimes there was food, sometimes there was no food. Krishnamurti and Nityananda accepted, not knowing what is going to happen. And then he started a long torture of discipline. Of obedience, of surrender, because their understanding was, if Krishnamurti is perfectly ready intellectually and surrenders, the soul of Gautam Buddha will enter in him. That was their wrong conception. After 25 years, they declared the day, and 6,000 theosophists from all over the world gathered in Holland, which was the head office for Krishnamurti. They had created a new branch of theosophical movement especially devoted to the world teacher that Krishnamurti is going to become. By receiving the soul of Gautam Buddha, the organization was called the Star of the East. At a particular date, before 6,000 delegates from all over the world, Krishnamurti was brought. But on the stage, he could see both the things clearly, that he has no inclination at all. He has been forced, and whenever you force somebody, deep down there is a resentment. And this was the last moment to say the truth. After that, there will be greater difficulties. He refused to surrender, and he told the gathering that I am not going to be the vehicle of Maitreya Buddha. it was very shattering. The whole theosophical movement withered away. But Krishnamurti's failure is really the failure of imposed conditioning. I am not in any way prepared by anybody. I have lived according to my light. Manisha, I had no reason to reject because I have been never forced to do anything. It was a tremendously joyful moment to receive the greatest flowering of consciousness. Into my garden of being, this does not make any change in me. This simply makes my silence more richer. My words more truer. I am not alone now. Gautam Buddha is also flying with me together. It is simply meeting of two rivers, neither one was under any compulsion. Jai Krishnamurti simply missed because he was overburdened by discipline. Otherwise, he was in every possible way capable. If he has grown the way I have grown independently, he may have welcomed Maitreya. But unfortunately, it was not going to happen. To remind you again, just to keep the distinction, Gautam the Buddha means the ancient Buddha, and according to his desire, I will be known as Maitreya the Buddha. Ananda has brought a difficulty. Now, all of you have become so accustomed to call me Bhagwan. When she comes loaded with her secretarial work, without remembering, she starts, "Hello, Bhagwan." And then she repents that I have been preparing all the way not to use this word Bhagwan. But the moment I saw you, I forget everything. I have to help Ananda and others also. Buddha was called by his lovers Bhante, which is a far more refined of greater implication. Bhante means a friend who has gone far away ahead. You are also on the path, but somebody is ahead of you. So just to help drop that old ugly word Bhagwan, I suggest you to use the word Bhante. At least for the transmittery period. And if Ananda does not come tomorrow with "Hello, Bhante," then the German Zen master Nishkriya has to hit her 3 times with great compassion and love. I will have to ask forgiveness from Sardar Gurdayal Singh for few days at least. Many problems will be coming. They have to be sorted out. And I can ask only Gurdayal Singh. Nivedana. be silent. Close your eyes. Feel your body to be completely frozen. Now this is the moment. Look inwards with totality of your consciousness, with an urgency as if this is going to be the last moment of your life. Go like a spear piercing into the very center of your being, deeper and deeper. The deeper you go, the closer you come to yourself. And to be close to yourself is to be the Buddha. This moment is so blessed that 10,000 consciousnesses are approaching closer and closer to the highest peak, the Buddha. Remember the word Buddha only consists of one quality, the witnessing. Witness your body is not you. Witness your mind is not you. Witness that except witnessing you are no more. To make it clear, Nivedana, relax, but to go on keeping the witnessing eye at this moment. You have made this evening a splendor, a living miracle. I can see the Buddha auditorium has become a lake of consciousness. All boundaries are dropped. You have melted just like ice into the oceanic . The auditorium has become a lake of consciousness without ripples. Thousands of flowers will start showering on you. remember to collect as much majesty, as much splendor, and don't forget to persuade the Buddha to come along with you, to fill your whole life. Smallest actions and words, gestures and silences, Nivedana, come back, but come back utterly different, with grace, with silence, as a Buddha. Just sit for a few moments, remembering the golden path you have traveled, the eternal that you have experienced for a few moments at the center of your being, and a glimpse of the Buddha that you have caught. Slowly, slowly, persuade, go on persuading. I know on my own authority, if you persuade honestly, the Buddha has to come and cover your whole life with joy, with immense beauty, and with a truth that brings liberation, freedom, and immortality. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhante.
Maitreya the Buddha, snow-white peaks are calling. Maitreya the Buddha, white swan spread your wings. Maitreya the Buddha, snow-white peaks are calling. Maitreya the Buddha, white swan spread your wings. Maitreya the Buddha, snow white peaks are calling. Maitreya the Buddha, white swan spread your wings. Maitreya the Buddha, snow-white peaks are calling. Maitreya the Buddha, white swan spread your wings. No footprints in the sky, footprints in the sand, no footprints. prints in the sky. No footprints in the sky. Maitreya the Buddha, snow white peaks are calling. Maitreya the Buddha, white swan spread your wings. Maitreya the Buddha, snow white peaks are calling. Maitreya Buddha, white swan, spread your wings. No footprints in the sky.